Welcome back to the Spirit According to the Word, and thank you for joining us as we continue our study of the Holy Spirit as He has revealed Himself in the Old Testament. And last time we started taking a look at how the Spirit is seen in the Old Testament revealing God's will. And we saw Him revealing God's will directly, and sometimes, particularly with Balaam and King Saul, with a little bit of persuasion revealing God's will. I want to kind of wrap up that thought with this episode and consider that the Spirit also was seen in the Old Testament revealing God's will through the prophets. And so we'll begin in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Brother, would you mind reading the first three verses there?
Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God.
All right. And there's, of course, David goes on and has a lot to say here, but these three verses is kind of interesting, right? So here David is talking about the process of inspiration as it pertained to him, right?
Right.
And so, you know, he calls himself, you know, in verse 1, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And verse 2, the King James here capitalizes the Spirit of the Lord. Spirit and Lord are both capital. And so the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. So it's kind of interesting. We've got three things here. Number one, he spoke by me. Number two, his word was in my tongue. Number three, he spoke to me. What do you think those three phrases mean, and how do they relate to David's work as a prophet?
Well, David's being divinely inspired here.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, the Holy Spirit speaking through David as a prophet. And so, you know, a lot of the things that David said, a lot of the things that David wrote in particular, were not for his own benefit, but were for the benefit of those of his day, and even certainly for our benefit today. A lot of what he wrote had to do with Jesus Christ and his work and rule that was coming.
Well, and even the design for the temple itself, didn't David have that by the Spirit, and then he was able to pass that design down to his son Solomon for the actual construction of it?
Yep, that's going to be the next passage we get to, so I'm going to hit pause on that.
So I'm going to slow down.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And notice he says he spoke through me or he spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. And this kind of speaks to the idea of the verbal plenary inspiration of Scriptures, right? That the words that David spoke as a prophet were the exact words that the Spirit wanted him to use.
See, and this is really kind of something neat to think about, that, you know, it's not just main ideas that are being inspired here, it's the actual word, right down to the actual word that's being used as we look at this text, that's inspired.
Yeah, and it's incredible to think about how that interchange, that interplay between the Holy Spirit and the prophet would work. Obviously, that's not something that we can experience today, not something that we can know about today. On the one hand, the prophet was in control of his faculties, and we see the personalities of the prophets come through. But on the other hand, each word that was used was the word that the Spirit put on his tongue.
And it's certainly something that we can benefit from today.
Absolutely. And then also notice verse 3, the last thing he says, that the God of Israel, that is the Rock of Israel, again, this is the Spirit of the Lord, he spoke to me. And so here we see some of the things then that the Spirit revealed through the prophets, he revealed to the prophets. And perhaps this is kind of some of the way that that the Spirit helped the prophets to choose the exact right words is he taught the prophets some things as well. What do you think there?
Seems to be accurate when you look at those three different phrases that you pointed out, you know, spoke by me, word on my tongue, and spoke to me. That spoke to me really seems to suggest that, yeah, there's some teaching going on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now moving on to the temple, as you had mentioned, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and incidentally, these verses have a huge bearing on the use of instrumental music in worship. So that'll be a freebie here. But 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we'll begin in verse 9. And here David is talking to his son. He says, "And you, Solomon, my son, know you the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then, notice verse 11. David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God, and of the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and of the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service, and the house of the Lord. Yeah.
And all those things given by the Spirit, and to understand where you started to mention instrumental music ties, and you kind of got to look over 2 Chronicles. Is it 29 verse 25, or did I get that backwards?
It's one or the other.
Chapter 29 verse 25. Yeah, there we go.
Well, chapter 25 doesn't have 29 verses, so.
So it's got to be chapter 29 verse 25. He stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps, according to the commandment of David, of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. So there you take that verse and tie in how that those instruments were used as part of the work of the temple, and now you come back to where that design's given, and then you see there in verse 13, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, that's how that ties in. Instruments were authorized in the Old Testament, but not in the New.
Yeah, and not only were they authorized, this was part of the pattern. And I think it's interesting to not, you know, we'll come back to this tangent in just a minute. But verse 12, it says that this pattern he had by the Spirit. The King James Version does not capitalize the word Spirit here. What about the New King James?
It is capitalized.
Yeah, so this is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who gave David the pattern for the temple. And so this pattern included, you know, the construction of the temple and all of its chambers inside, all the buildings around it, a pattern for the courses of the priests, right? So when you come to the gospel accounts and you see Zechariah and Elizabeth, was serving based on his course. That was the pattern that the Holy Spirit gave to David. And also for the work of the service of the house. And also the vessels, the furniture, the tools. And yeah, so there in, you know, 2 Chronicles 29, 25, it mentions that this was what was revealed through God's prophets. This was the command, all these musical instruments that were used. That was part of the pattern.
You know, and weren't there even specific individuals, even within the tribe of Levi, that could use the instruments?
Yes, absolutely. There were certain Levites who were designated to be singers, certain Levites who were designated to play this instrument, and certain ones for that instrument. And all of this was delineated according to the pattern given by the Holy Spirit. And
because that's all part of the work of the service of the house of the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. And so then, you know, when you come to the book of Hebrews, right, the Hebrew writer reminds us as he talks about the tabernacle that Moses made, right? You know, he specifically says, if I can get there here in just a minute, where are we? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, and he talks about the tabernacle and everything that was built there. You know, that as Moses was about to make these things, God admonished him, see that you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. And so, you know, all of these musical instruments and the outbuildings of the temple and all of those things, those were not part of the pattern that God gave to Moses. But when God gave David the pattern for the temple, it was on a little bit grander scale, had more buildings attached to it, and had, you know, there were more Levites now, so now we divided them into courses. This is new, but this is part of the pattern that the Holy Spirit gave. So now under the New Testament, as the church, we are the house of God, the temple of the living God, and we need to build according to the pattern.
And just as David could not go beyond that pattern for the work of the temple, we cannot go beyond that pattern for the work of the church.
That's exactly the thing. So it's not about, you know, ignorance or God ignoring that or whatever. That was David's pattern. And you know, we can't go back and borrow from David's pattern because we have a different pattern. Just like David couldn't go back and borrow from Moses' pattern because the tabernacle was different than the temple. It had a lot in common, sure, but it was different pattern. And, you know, the church today there's a lot of symbolism, a lot in common with the tabernacle and the temple. The Hebrew writers talks a lot about that, right? But we have a different pattern. And these patterns were given through the prophets by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the freebie about instrumental music in the Old Testament and the difference between that and what we have today. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Looks like you're there, brother. Would you mind reading verses 10 through 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20?
And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but your eyes are upon you. But our eyes are upon mm-hmm. you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Okay. A lot of verses there and a lot of big names. I'm glad you read that instead of me. But notice there in verse 14, right? So you have this prayer that is prayed by Jehoshaphat as they're getting ready to go out to battle. And all of Judah and their families, they stand before the Lord and wait for an answer. And here comes this answer through Jahaziel, who is a Levite of the son of Asaph, and says, The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. And then here comes God's answer. And God's answer is, Don't be afraid, because you're not going to win this battle. I am.
You know, it's interesting to make present-day application to this whole concept of the battle is God's battle, not ours, is, you know, when people don't listen to us today, or when people persecute Christians today, whether it be in other parts of the world or other forms right here, battle's not ours, it's God's. So they can persecute us, but guess which side wins?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, God always wins. But and so back to, you know, what's key to our study here is, as we're looking for the Holy Spirit. So it's interesting, this prayer is prayed, and then the Holy Spirit chooses one of the Levites and speaks through him to directly answer this prayer verbally. And, you know, so here we see the Spirit speaking in a direct answer to a prayer through a prophet. And, you know, that's not something that we see done today, but it was certainly done in the Old Testament. And I don't want to jump too far ahead and draw conclusions about the New Testament before we get there, but this is what we see here in the Old Testament, right?
Right. And you know, it wasn't just anybody either. It was a Levite. Do you think that might have some bearing on our discussion on the Holy Spirit?
I think that it might. I mean, for sure here in the Old Testament, you know, that these were the ones who God had selected to be the priest, to be the intermediary between Israel and God. And so we see the Holy Spirit then, you know, working through them largely as prophets. Now, not all of the prophets were Levites. David was not a Levite.
Right.
Saul was not a Levite. But, you know, certainly as the priest stood in that role, one of the job of the priest was to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, to teach them to know the law. And so the Holy Spirit choosing a Levite to act as prophet is certainly in keeping with that thought. And certainly today, God's priesthood has a responsibility to help those around us to know what God's will is. Okay, one more passage on this thought. Staying in 2 Chronicles, turn over to chapter 24, and I'll pick up in verse 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 24, starting in verse 17. Now, after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus says God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has also forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Now that didn't really go well for that particular prophet. This is most likely, this is the Zechariah that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35, who died before the altar there in the court of the house of the Lord. They did not hear his prophecy. They were happy with their idolatry. But it's interesting. We see right verses 19 and 20 that after Jehoiada the priest died, that the princes of Judah came to the king and turned the king's heart. And so King Joash then began serving groves and idols, and God was punishing Judah because of that. Yet, and it's interesting, so on one hand, verse 18, there's punishment, but on the other hand, verse 19, there's preaching. God sent prophets to them. And so with the punishment, and the purpose of the punishment was what? Well, it was ultimately to draw them back to God, you know, to make them think, maybe this isn't the way we want to go. Things are getting kind of hard right now. And the purpose of the prophecy was the same thing, was to draw them back to God. And so God was approaching this from both angles. And then verse 20, the Spirit of God, capital S, capital G, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, which now is interesting, right? Jehoiada had been the high priest. He died. Zechariah then would have been the new high priest. And now God, you know, the Holy Spirit acts upon him and prophesies through him. And so here again, we see the Holy Spirit revealing God's will through the prophets. And so Zechariah was a rather short-lived high priest in this instance.
You know, this whole account and in this chapter is really kind of sad when you stop to think about it. I don't want to get too far away from the Spirit of God discussion, but you know, Joash would have basically been raised in some sense by Jehoiada the priest, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, Joash's grandmother was Athaliah, who killed all the offspring, all the royal offspring, except for Joash, because Jehosheba, who was his aunt, had hid him, and Jehosheba was married to Jehoiada the priest. So they would have basically raised him through his early years, and as long as Jehoiada was alive, you know, Joash was faithful. And so wouldn't he have grown up around Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest? So they would have grown up basically being like brothers, and now Joash has fallen away because of the influence of other people. So prophets are sent to bring him a message to get him back to the Lord. And then finally, that doesn't work. So finally, Zechariah is giving him a message. Why didn't he just listen to this person he would have grown up around?
Mm. Wow. And Joash didn't remember the kindness of Jehoiada at all, is verse 22, and slew his son. That's so sad. I mean, you see the hardness of sin there. He should have, I mean, his childhood friend, the son of his adopted father. I mean, if anybody could have gotten to him, you think it would have been Zechariah.
And especially as you think about how the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, and that's the message that Joash would have been hearing.
Yeah, and so this wasn't Zechariah calling him down. This was God, which, by the way, if you think about that for a minute, if anybody could have gotten through to Joash, it probably would have been Zechariah. And that's who the Holy Spirit chose to be the prophet in this instance. You see God giving Joash every possibility. And so the Holy Spirit probably was intentional in that choice of a prophet. Hmm. Okay. Shifting gears, one last thought here, and a few more passages, as we see the Spirit revealing God's will in the Old Testament. We've seen He revealed God's will directly, sometimes with persuasion. He revealed God's will through the prophets. And then, finally, in the Old Testament, we also see the Holy Spirit revealing God's will in the time of the judges. And ironically, it's not the book of Judges that we go to find that. So the first passage I want to look at here is Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 30. So we're back in the prayer of Nehemiah that we had looked at last week.
And of course, in that prayer, Nehemiah goes back and recounts some of the history of Israel. And so that's where we get back to the time of the judges, right?
Right. That's exactly right. So last week we saw Nehemiah talking about the Spirit leading Israel and teaching them in the wilderness. And so as that prayer continues, you drop down to verse 30, and we've moved now into the time of the judges. And he says, "Yet many years did you forbear them and testify against them by your Spirit in your prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for your great mercy's sake, you did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for you are a gracious and a merciful God." And so here we see verse 30, and it's interesting, in the King James, this is not capitalized, that you testified against them by your Spirit in your prophets. Is that capitalized in the New King James there?
So the New King James, what it does is it capitalizes the Y for your, and then capitalizes the Spirit for, you know, the S and Spirit, and then again the your before prophets is capitalized.
Interesting. Yeah. So here we have the Holy Spirit through the prophets, and this is, you know, the context that you gave them into the hand of the people of the land. Verse 30. This would have been the time of the judges, when, you know, the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Ammonites and some of those others rose up against Israel and oppressed them during that cycle of sin, servitude, supplication, and salvation. See, it alliterates, so it preaches. But yeah, so here we see the Spirit then, again, through the prophets, revealing God's will in the time of the judges. Okay, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42, and we'll look at the first three verses there. Isaiah chapter 42, beginning in verse 1. Have you got that, brother?
Yes. You want me to read it?
Please.
Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth.
Huh. Well, that's not the time of the judges, is it? But you see, the word judgment, though. This is a prophecy of Christ. I'll just go ahead and mention this while we're here. Notice that my servant. This is talking about Jesus Christ. I have put my spirit upon him. And again, here in the King James, this is lowercase for spirit for some reason. But here we see, and we'll come back to this as we get into the New Testament, but the Holy Spirit involved in the teachings and the work of Christ himself. Any other thoughts there without getting too far into the New Testament?
Well, now I'm just curious about what passage you meant to put there.
We may never know. If I find it, then I will circle back to that next time around. Okay, one more passage, and then we'll close. Let's look at Micah chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. This is in the Minor Prophets. And, of course, the Minor Prophets are not minor because they weren't important. They were minor because they didn't write much. So there's not many pages, and they're hard to find. So Micah chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 5. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err, that bite with their teeth and cry peace, and he that puts not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore, night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine. And the sun shall go down over the prophets, and the day shall be dark over them. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgressions, and to Israel his sins. And so here again, this is not the time of the judges either. But here's the prophet Micah, and so there's a contrast. It's interesting, verse 5, you have these prophets who make God's people to err, and they're crying peace, and they're preaching a message that God did not put in their mouths. So here you have prophets claiming to be inspired by the Holy Spirit, but Micah says, no, they're not. But in contrast to that, verse 8, Micah says, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And here again, the word Spirit is not capitalized, but certainly it was the Holy Spirit that inspired Micah to be a prophet to God's people. What are your thoughts there?
Well, these last two passages really seem to go back to the previous point in God revealing his will through the prophet. That we have also talked about in this episode, so it all works out, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That was where we were going. I wanted to end where we began. I planned it that way. We'll go
so
with
you
that.
Would genuinely circle back, right?
Absolutely. All right. But
again, you know, you're looking at how, you know, there were some people who thought that they had a message, that or people that were giving a message, but their message was not coming from God. But now Micah, on the other hand, he was someone who spoke by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, absolutely. And so there's a contrast there. You have false prophets who claim to be speaking from God, and Micah, who actually was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he also claimed to be speaking from God. And so now there's a question, well, how do you know which prophet is which? Now Moses answered that, and you know, for our practical purposes, we'll get into that a little bit more in a later episode. But certainly you see the contrast between prophets who were inspired by the Holy Spirit and prophets who were liars. But one thing that's interesting is, as we wrap this up, just how few these passages are that talk about, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit revealing God's will. It's not as many as one might expect to find. And so, Lord willing, the plan is for the next episode, we'll be talking about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament providing abilities. And so I think that's going to be an exciting study, and we're looking forward to that. It looks like you've got some wheels turning over there, brother.
Well, there's another example of this in Ezekiel 13, and I just wanted to see what word was used in there, if the word Spirit was used as far as giving that message. But you had false prophets in Ezekiel 13 claiming that they were speaking by mm-hmm. the Spirit of God, but they weren't. Just like, you know, as we just saw in Micah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's there. So the word of the Lord, verse 1, came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. So here's a spirit that they're following, but it's certainly not the Holy Spirit.
And what the Holy Spirit says here is it's their own spirit.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting. The Holy Spirit is not, in so many words, mentioned here, but certainly if this is the Lord coming unto him, I think as we looked at some of these other passages, we can safely conclude this is the Holy Spirit revealing these things to Ezekiel.
You know, and this just goes to show that we really need to be careful about whose message we listen to, and that we test everything that we hear and make sure it lines up with the rest of God's Word.
Absolutely. Try all the spirits, whether they are of God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1.
For many false prophets have gone out into the world.
And so that certainly includes all those spirits that are claiming to be the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All right, well, thank you for joining us, and hopefully you've noticed we've gotten some audio issues worked out on this episode. We'll see how that goes, and we may end up going back and re-recording some of the previous episodes as we get better at this whole recording thing. So I really appreciate y'all bearing with us on this and growing with us as we continue this study.